Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
Good morning. Those of you who know me know that I enjoy the NBA a little too much. Some people would tell you that they like basketball. I talk to people all the time that say, NBA, huh? Nah, I like college basketball. It's so much more pure. I feel the complete opposite, where the NBA brings out my inner 10-year-old, and I'm very okay telling you that. I loved the NBA in the 80s. I loved it in the 90s. I loved it in, I don't know what the 2000s were called. I don't think anyone ever figured that out for that whole decade. I still don't know what to call it. Some people don't like the NBA because there's too much stuff about shoes and contracts and commercials and pop culture involved. That's exactly why I love the NBA. And so I'm a guy all winter who will just be watching the NBA, loving the NBA, talking about it way too much, and acting like a child when it comes to the NBA. You probably have hobbies, so please don't judge me. All right, but there's a guy in the NBA, maybe you've heard of him. You're in Ohio right now, so I hope you have. His name is LeBron James, and he's a big deal, all right? So if you're just learning that, we can't be friends. I'm not sure what's going to be in our relationship, but probably not friendship, all right? So, but this LeBron guy has been around Ohio for a while. Yes, he left for a small spell. We won't talk about it. He's back. We all love him again, okay? But he's pretty good. Nike agrees, and they build campaigns around this guy. And so I wanted us to check out one today as we're going to talk about owning outreach and what that means for our church, what that means for our individual lives. I thought there's no better way than to just show you. This is a commercial from a few years ago. As soon as you see it, it will make your heart skip a beat. Here we go. It's funny how when you watch something during the week and you're like, is that appropriate to show in front of the church? You're like, of course it is. And then you hear that lady say rock solid body in front of a group of people and you kind of get a little nervous. But I don't think it crossed any lines. But what she was trying to say, the video was saying that those people have witnessed LeBron play, right? They've witnessed incredible things. They've witnessed greatness. And they're saying, I'm a witness. And so that campaign was built on the fact that people would also say, I've seen him play. I've seen great things. I'm a witness. You're a witness. And if you've hung out at church for a while, maybe you know that we're not going to be talking about LeBron James much more often, right? As we talk about great things that we have witnessed, obviously it's not a very difficult jump to think about the fact that if we understand the greatness of God, if we understand his great love for our lives, his great plan for our lives, and the fact that he sent Jesus to give us life, we have been a part of greatness. We've witnessed greatness. And so just like these people can clearly say, I am a witness, you and I should be able to say, I know the greatness of God. I've experienced the greatness of God. I'm living the greatness of God, and I am a witness. So we want to talk about that today. I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to Acts, book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. I believe it's on page 830 there. If you've got a Bible on your phone, you can look that up. If not, there's a Bible under your chair or somewhere there. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, we would love for you to take that Bible home to read that and to study it and learn what it means to grow in a relationship with God. But we want to be in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 11 today. And let me give you a little background on this passage as we talk about what it means to be a witness. This is literally the last moment that Jesus spends on earth for his earthly ministry. He came to this world. He was sent to this world. He lived a perfect life. He came for a purpose, to die on the cross. That happened. He was crucified and he rose from the dead 3 days later. He defeated sin, defeated death. He had lived his earthly life and he had done ministry with the disciples. All of those things are behind him. And after he was raised from the dead, he reappeared to the disciples and hung out with them for a short while. And that's where this passage is kind of at. This is some of the last moments of the ministry of Jesus. This is called the ascension of Jesus. And that's where we want to jump in today. Page 830, Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 11. I'll read verse 6 to you. You can follow along. It says this. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom? I have to pause right there. If you weren't here last week, we talked about the fact that the very disciples, the apostles who were following Jesus, often did not understand what his kingdom was. They didn't understand that it was a heavenly kingdom. And so they were following this guy and they were like, hey, when you're the king, can I be on your right and your left hand? Can I be important when you're important? And you'd hope that after last week, after my rousing message, maybe the disciples would be like, oh, now we get it. But they still don't, right? They're still confused. They still think that there's going to be a kingdom and things are going to be overturned. And so they're asking the wrong questions. Here's what Jesus says in verse 7. It says, he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But Jesus is pointing them to this next verse, verse 8. says this, but you, talking about the disciples, talking about believers, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I'm going to read that again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Simply put, this is what Jesus commissioned these disciples to do. He said, you have seen what I've done. You've seen how God the Father has moved. You've been a part of this movement, and now it's your job to pass it on. As I mentioned, when you see something great, it's not a stretch to tell people about it, right? Those of you who are hunters in the room, if you go and get a 12-point buck, you're probably going to be at church the next week with your phone just walking up to people like, hey, you ever hunt? Looking to tell people about that, right? Some of the moms in the room, and maybe some of the dads, I don't want to stereotype too much, if you have the greatest day ever with Kohl's cash and score some sweet deals, you're going to brag about it to your fellow moms, right? You're going to say, yeah, I spent $900, but I got it for $167, and most of the men won't even know what you're talking about, but it's awesome, right? When you can work the Kohl's cash like that, and some people just brag about different things that happen. If you're a golfer and you get a hole in one, you're going to find a way to bring that up at the water cooler, aren't you? Guess what I did Saturday? And so when we're a part of something great, when we witness something great, it's natural to share that experience. And as people who know the greatness of God, who have understood the greatness of what he's done for us, it's natural to share that experience. If you don't know the greatness of God, let me unfold that for you quickly. We were created by God, in the image of God, to know God. And we ruin that as humans. We choose our own way. We think that our way is better. We think that we're smarter. And so we turn our backs on God often. Some of us realize we do that. Some of us don't realize we do that. But we're saying, oh, God, I know better. I don't need to follow your way. And so because of the sin and the junk and the things in our lives, we're separated from God. There's a distance between us and God. And that distance is put there by sin. Us choosing our own way, us thinking that we know better than God. Because of that distance, we can't be in the presence of God. Because we can't be in the presence of God, we're doomed to be separated from him for eternity. God doesn't want us separated from him for eternity, and so he took this into his own hands, and he said, I'm going to do something about this. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, to this earth. Jesus was fully God, fully man, and so he was without sin. And he came and he lived on this earth, and he never made a mistake. He didn't sin, he didn't mess up. And so because we've sinned, that's a penalty that we have to be separated from God. That's not a penalty that applies to Jesus. And so he came and gave his life and died on the cross. When he gave his life on the cross, he wasn't doing that because he deserved punishment. He was doing that to accept our punishment. And by giving his life, by dying on the cross, by being raised from the dead 3 days later, he gave us life and he gave us hope. And he closed that gap between us and God. He gave us relationship with God. So by putting our faith and our trust in him, by believing that he is who he said he is, we can know God. We can know the greatness of God. We can know relationship with God. We can know the love of God. And when you witness something great, when you're a part of something great, when you're in the presence of something great, when you experience something great, when you know greatness, you can't help but share that experience. That's what these verses are saying. When you witness something great, you share your experience. Now, I think the word witness, sometimes we think of someone that saw something, right? But I want to show us a clip here in a second of what a good witness looks like. Because when you see something, you can't just say, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, there it was. A good witness recounts what they saw. A good witness repeats what they saw, recreates, retells, takes you there. This is it's kind of a funny clip, but I want you to check this out and think of this as a witness. This is a good witness. Clearly a little over the top. And yet, I want you to think of that when you think of the word witness. That woman took you to where she was, right? She didn't just say, you know, the apartment caught on fire. She gave you a rundown of her emotions and what she was feeling and what her goals were for the day. And she told you, this is what happened, and then this is what I did, and this is how that resulted. And you felt like you were in a fire as you were laughing at her, right? You could feel that, and you could sense that. You knew that. She took you to that place. A witness isn't just someone that sees something and then lets it happen. A witness is someone who repeats what they've seen, who tells you what they've seen, who takes you to that place and puts you in that instance. Is her name Sweet Brown? Does anyone know? Sweet Brown, yeah. Sweet Brown. Sweet Brown takes you there. She embodies what it means to be a witness. And if we're going to talk about being people that own our faith, if we're going to talk about being a church that owns our faith and owns the church that God has put us in, one of the aspects of that, the point of today, is that we need to own the gospel. We need to feel like the gospel is pouring out of us, that we understand who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and he's tasked us as the church with sharing that, with being witnesses. And being witnesses doesn't just mean, yeah, that happened. That was really fun. That, yeah, I'm glad Jesus. No, that means repeating that. That means telling anyone that will hear, and that means letting that spill out of us every chance we get. When you're a witness of something great, you share your experience. There's some marching orders in these verses. This is kind of, there's an initial part of that that says, I want you to be my witnesses. And then Jesus breaks down, this is what that means. And he kind of breaks down these three spots. And so I want to take a chance and unpack those today. And the first place that he says is, I want you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That was the area that these guys were in. That was their backyard. That was the place that they were. That was their Hilliard. That was their Grove City. That was their Upper Arlington. That's where they were. That's what they knew. And so he was saying, I need you to be my witnesses of what I've done, of my love, of how I've changed your life. I need you to communicate that, to repeat that, to say that in your day-to-day life. And so the obvious application for us, are you a witness in your day-to-day life, in the places that are nearby you? We should take the gospel to Jerusalem. Not actual Jerusalem, though, right? Go ahead and fill in your neighborhood or your town there. That means our lives and our nearby surroundings. And so if you work at Cardinal Health, you should take the gospel to Cardinal Health. If you're a teacher, the parents and students that you interact should know the gospel because of your presence there. If you're a stay-at-home mom, your neighbors and the people that you talk to every day should know the gospel. You should take the gospel there. You should find a way to bring the gospel to your friend circle. You should find a way to bring the gospel to the water cooler. You should find a way for the gospel to spill over in your day-to-day life. Are you doing that? Are you a witness? Are you someone that people could count on to know the story, to know the details of what happened? Maybe something that they haven't heard yet. Maybe something that they missed, something they weren't a part of. Are you a witness who could recount that story? We have to take the gospel to our nearby surroundings, to our neighborhood, to our family, to our friends. There's a lot of different ways that we try to do that as a church. We've done things like trunk or treat. We've done things like sponsoring families that are in need at Christmas. Sometimes we get to voice the gospel right away as we do these things. Sometimes we're building relationships so that we can present the gospel. But as a church, we want to be involved locally. One of those ways is that you're sharing the gospel in your day-to-day life, but one of the other ones is that we want to be involved in our community. Last week, we had an opportunity to serve at the Hilliard Fall Festival. It's the third year that we've done that. The first year that we did it, it was funny. We got connected with them, and they were like, you want to do what? They almost, I think they thought we were like trying to do a fundraiser, you know, like, yeah, we'll come and work for you if you give us $1,000 toward this project. You know, they have groups that do that all the time. And they're like, so you just want to send people and serve Hilliard? And we were like, yep, that's what we want to do. So we did that one year. Last year we showed up and they had a thank you movement church sign. And anyone that's ever not been thanked for something, we were like, oh, they have a sign for us. This is so great. Look at it. They love us. Hilliard loves us. And so we showed up last Sunday for the third year in a row to do this. And when we got there, people were like, Movement Church. This is actually what a lady said to me. I was like, hey there, you. You know, I like didn't know who she was. But she's like, we love you guys. And they told us this all day. They sent me a follow-up this week. And I wanted to let you know that the city of Hilliard said, this event is not possible without you. The budget doesn't work on paper. The logistics don't work on paper. The way that you've served us and the way that you've served the community makes this possible. We've said that that's what we want to be. As we're representing the gospel, as we're speaking the gospel, we want to be a church that if we were to ever disappear, people would miss us. They would notice that we were gone. And so I actually talked to someone today that said, hey, I was at the Fall Festival last week. Talked to some people. I've been wanting to check your church out. Here I am. And so there's different ways that we can represent the gospel. That's our Jerusalem. That's how we do that locally. That's one of the things that we're excited about. But we also want to be able to take the gospel to our region, right? We want to be able to take the gospel not just to Hilliard, not just to one town. We want to take the gospel to Ohio and to the United States. And so we have some strategic partnerships and ways that we do that. And I want to highlight some things today, not because this is a cheesy commercial, but because this is what we're behind as a church. This is what our time and energy goes to. And I want you to know that these things exist and how you can get involved in taking the gospel to our Jerusalem and also our Judea. And so I want to invite my friend up here today. He's going to make me look like a small man, and that's fine. But I want to invite my friend Bacho up here. Let's make him feel like a rock star, huh? Yes. I'll grab a mic here for you, Bacho. Bacho is the lead man in real life, which is Crew at Ohio State. We have a strategic partnership with them. I told you I was going to look little, didn't I? It's like, this is where the phrase, do you even lift, bro, comes from, when people see us standing together. But he's the leader of that ministry, and we're excited to partner with them. So Bacho, can you we just want to highlight some things. Tell us first about your role, what that really means. I said you were the lead guy. It sounds cool. But what does a week look like for you guys? Tell us about your family, and tell us just about you and your life specifically.
Well, just briefly, I was born and raised in the Republic of Georgia with a name like Bacho. You know, I'm not from this neck of the woods, but I've lived here since 92 and married. Laura and I have been married for 20 years. We have four kids, and we've been working with Crew at Ohio State for the last 20 years, and it is a privilege to partner with churches like yours. I mean, I love Mark and Josh, and just to brag on them, because they're not going to tell you that. They do a fantastic job. And a part of it is, when you have a large movement like ours, we can partner with a lot of churches. But for us, the idea is we want to partner with people that do what you hear today. That this is the heartbeat of our movement, that the gospel will go forth from Ohio State to the ends of the earth. So, and, you know, I help give leadership to that a little bit, so...
Cool. Another thing I wanted to ask you here. Tell us, I believe you guys are one of the biggest, if not the biggest movement in the country. Tell us what real life looks like, because some of us that are in our 30s don't go down to campus anymore. We're not cool enough. And so maybe we go to like one football game a decade. But tell us about real life. Like how many people are on staff? What does a gathering look like? What does that look like on a week-to-week basis?
Well, some of you that are sitting here are a part of the movement at Ohio State, so it's kind of like I'm describing you from the outside. So it always kind of looks a little bit weird when you describe when you're sitting up. Oh, you're talking about me. But yeah, we're a movement. We have about 38 staff that work with Crew full-time. You know, half of them are full-time, half of them are interns. We have small groups all over campus. There's over 700 students that come to small groups every week, everywhere from dorms to fraternities and sororities and everything in between. We gather on Sunday nights. It's an opportunity for us as a movement to be together. And actually tonight, you guys are hosting it. So every Sunday we have a different partner church that comes in and hosts. And so tonight, you guys are it, so thanks for coming.
Yeah, so some of you have a movement group tonight, some of you maybe don't. We're going to be meeting, you guys are at Independence Hall tonight down on campus. We're going to be meeting there 7:30. We have a chance just to host. We take some pizza. We try to make college people like us, and that's the best way to do that is with pizza. And so that's just a way that we can partner, and we can say, hey, we're not necessarily making a huge impact in and of ourselves on campus, but as we partner with them, as we believe in what they do, as we give them resources and people and energy, and we encourage them, we can know that we're having an impact down on campus. And also, Ohio State's the biggest institution, the biggest employer in the state of Ohio, and so you guys are sending people to Lima, you're sending people to Cincinnati, you're sending people to Chicago, and so we're not just having an impact 10 miles away on campus, we're having an impact as they send people all over. Bacho, tell us something. Something that just you're excited about this fall. I don't know, one story or one milestone, something that's happening at Real Life that you're excited about that maybe we can be praying about.
Yeah, I mean, just to, in general, to pray for this year, as I was thinking about it. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 6, you have Elisha and his servant are sitting in a room, and outside there is a Syrian army that's surrounding the house. And the servant looks at Elisha and he says, "What shall we do, master?" And Elisha's response to that is, he prays. He says, "The Lord, may you open his eyes so he can see." And as soon as he's done praying, the servant's eyes are opened, and he sees beyond the Assyrian army. He sees the hills filled with chariots and horses of the Lord's army. And in some ways, it's a moment of awakening for the servant, saying, like, okay, I live in a world that's much larger than what my eyes can see. And that's our prayer, that this year and every year, students at Ohio State, their eyes will be open to much bigger reality, that God is real, that he is on the move. And one of the exciting things actually is happening tonight. We have some of the football players that will be at our meeting, and they'll be sharing about their walks with the Lord. And, you know, when you have guys like Darren Lee and Joshua Perry and Cardell Jones talking about their faith, the temptation would be to look at them as celebrities instead of as witnesses, as people who point to that much bigger reality that God is at work. So if you can pray that tonight, there will be that sense permeating our meeting, that it's not about the superstars, but it's about the only star that will remain and will continue to shine, and it's Jesus.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, we're excited about our partnership with Real Life. We're excited about some of the people that call Movement Home who are involved in Real Life. I know Ryan gets me on staff with them, and we have many people represented here who are part of that movement, and we consider that movement family. We consider people that are on the Real Life staff, people that attend Real Life, as an extension of us, and that's why we want to support them and encourage them. That's what we wanted to highlight Bacha today. And so I wanted to just take a moment as we highlight that, as we celebrate that, just to pray over him, to pray over their staff and their students, and be excited about what God is doing there as an extension of us. So will you pray with me? Lord, we lift up Bacha today, and we lift up just all of the staff members that were mentioned. Lord, thank you that you have you've given them the opportunity to take the gospel to Ohio State. And Lord, not just Ohio State as they disciple people, but to think about the world beyond, Lord, the people that will be sent, students that will be sent to different parts of the world, different parts of the country, to represent the gospel, to be witnesses. Lord, I pray for their gathering specifically tonight. I pray that the gospel will be clear. I pray that that people won't be celebrated, but that you will be celebrated, that the gospel will be celebrated, and that that people will make decisions to follow you, Lord, that people make decisions to get serious about following you with their lives. And Lord, we just lift up their movement. We pray that you'll give us wisdom as we look to partner and encourage them. Lord, thank you that they have just such a wonderful track record and some great roots of sharing the gospel and being so intentional down on campus. Lord, we're excited about that. We're grateful for that. And Lord, we just lift them up to you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Thanks, Bacha. You guys thank him. That is tonight. If you want to be a part of hosting, you can talk to some people at the Next Steps table. We're going to meet down in Independence Hall about 7:30. We'll have some pizza and things. Most of you should have a movement shirt if you've been here at least once, right? Unless you threw it away. So if you're in Real Life, we want you to wear that shirt tonight to represent us and just to help us encourage Real Life and what they're doing. And so that will be tonight. And so that's a way that we don't just want to be witnesses locally. We don't want to just be witnesses in our lives. We want to be witnesses around our city and as people are sent around our state. We want to be witnesses and be excited about what the gospel is doing. Another way that we do that, something that I wanted to highlight today, all the money that is given to Movement Church, the money that people give out of their tithes and offerings, we take 5% of that and we put it in a fund that we call the Church Planting Fund. I don't know if you know this, but at one point, every church was a church plant. It's true. It's just like saying every person was a baby at some point, right? I won't talk about that more, but you'll figure it out eventually if you don't know. But everyone was young. Everyone was a baby. This church just 3 years ago was a church plant. So we believe in church planting. We believe that that's a pattern that we see in the New Testament. We believe it's a wonderful tool of evangelism. And so we're excited about that. And so this isn't something I'm announcing like, oh, tomorrow we're going to plant a church. But we've been putting money aside in that fund. We've been talking to different possible church planters. And we believe that we might be a year or two out from making some announcements, from doing something in church planning, but I want you to know that that's something that we believe in and a way that we're able to be witnesses around this city and around Ohio. And so I've mentioned this a few times. Maybe you remember it, maybe you don't, but as you're thinking of things, what can I pray about? Pray about our future in church planning. Pray about finding people and finding a launch team and finding a specific city, a town, a suburb that we want to send people to, and pray about that process, because that's a way that we want to be witnesses in our area. I'm going to call Josh up here and let him grab a mic. Another way that we can be witnesses, not just in our lives, in our specific town, not just in our city, but we want to take the gospel to the world and be witnesses. And a way that we do that is through our church-to-church partnership with CPR3. And
the rest of the Haiti team.
And the rest of the Haiti team, you can call them up. We are actually getting ready to send some people there this coming Friday, I believe, on a trip. And so we want to highlight that partnership. So maybe you guys can tell us a little bit about what does a church-to-church partnership look like? Maybe there are people here who have never been to Haiti, probably most of the room. What does it look like for us to partner and share resources and encourage them and be a part of building a church down there? What is this team going to do? And just tell us all of those things.
Yeah, so we partner with CPR3, and they started down in Haiti after the earthquake happened a few years ago. And so they have on the ground a place where we can go, and other churches as well can go, and partner with other pastors, Haitian pastors that are down there who have the heart to plant a church. So what's cool about Movement is that we get to come alongside a pastor, Pastor Francisco, and is his name, and we get to help him plant a church. So with this team, along with members who can't be here, a total of 13 of us, we're going to be going down next Friday, and we're going to be down there for 7 days, and we're going to be able to just be in the city of Canaan, where we're going to be planning the church and get to know the community. We're going to be able to have conversations with the pastor and understand, you know, what does he need? How can we come alongside and help enforce his vision of what God has called him to do down there? And so throughout the week, what we're going to be doing, like I said, we're going to be going into the community. We're going to be talking with people. It'll look like just going into people's homes. They love bringing you into the home and learning, you know, how to make food or what they do day to day, and just understanding the need for that city. And so some of it is, you know, we know what we're going to be doing, but some of it, you know, we'll be down there and it'll be, you know, day by day, you know, what we're going to be doing. But our heart down there is to not have it be a short-term relationship, but that many more trips would happen. You know, potentially 2 to 3 a year could be happening down there. So.
Yeah, and as that partnership grows, we know that we have a lot of people who are nurses or doctors or dentists, and so we want to be able to take medical trips. We know that the church down there has already voiced a need for a building, and so there might come a day that we'll say, hey, does anyone know how to build buildings? And we'll say, this is a construction trip. We want you to go. Maybe some of you guys will be like, I own a shovel, and we'll say, that's good enough. Come on this trip. And so we're gonna learn more about this partnership as we grow in relationship with them. We're going to find out ways that we can bless them, ways that we can encourage them. And we're excited about that. There will be times that we can offer lots of different things, but we're doing all of that out of the context of a local church that's being planted there, and so that families can be strengthened and people can hear the gospel. And so that's a way that we're able to be witnesses in the poorest country in the world. That's a way that we're able to take the gospel and also take ministry and be the hands and feet of Jesus around the world. And so we're excited about that.
Can I say one more thing?
No, you can't. No, I'm joking.
I'm going to say one more thing. Okay, so one thing I just wanted to say is that Pastor Francisco he's already moving. He doesn't necessarily need us, but he's already moving. And one cool thing that I saw in the email this past week of just his monthly recap of, you know, his ministry and what we can be praying for and what we can be celebrating is that in the last five months, he's had over 25 people come to know the Lord down there, which is awesome. And so, like, the church is moving and the church is growing, and we're excited to be down there.
Yeah. And so what does it mean for us to talk about partnering with these places? Well, there's a reason that we invited you to go to Real Life tonight. There's a reason that we do that a couple times a year, because we don't want you to just say, I think this thing happens down at Ohio State. We want you to go there and experience that. And the same thing is true of Haiti. I realize that there's some cost with going to Haiti, but we want everyone who wants to own Movement Church and own the gospel and own what we're doing, we want you to travel to Haiti. And so that might be a one-year goal, that might be a two-year goal, but I would love for you to talk to these people and say, hey, what was it like to raise funds? What was it like to, did you have to get any shots? What does that process look like? We want you to be burdened to be a witness in Haiti. And so we would love for everyone to travel there and be a part of what we're doing. And so I wanted you to know that. I don't mean to say if you don't go to Haiti in the next 2 years, you don't love Jesus or anything like that. But I hope that we can have goals for partnership and we can be excited about those things. And so, Josh, will you just maybe pray for this team
you're
gonna be leading?
Jalee and do this.
You're going to let Jalee do it.
Jalee is the other leader.
She has red hair, so I like that. No, she's done a lot of work to make this trip happen. So yeah, Jalee, will you pray for this partnership? Pray for what's going to happen.
Yes, definitely. Also, Zach Jones is in the back. He's also on our team, but he's just standing back there. So if some people could just turn around and like awkwardly stare at him right now, I'd really appreciate it.
You just got called out.
Love you, brother.
Yeah.
So, okay, would you bow your heads with me? Father, I just thank you so much for how you have called each member of this team, Father. I thank you for how you have burdened Mark and Josh and people in this church, Father, to build a relationship with CPR3, Father, to build a relationship with our brothers and sisters in Haiti, Father, and how you have picked each of these people specifically because of how you want to meet them, Father, and how you have called them to meet your children in Haiti, God. Father, I just pray over our team. We trust in you for our safety, Father. Our lives are in your hands, and we just entrust those to you. We give to you our anxieties, Father, and our fears, and we pray, Father, that we could just take your joy with both hands and join you in what you're doing there. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that that there would be people in Haiti, Father, who are meant to be the seeds and members of this team, Father, and that there would be members of this team who are meant to plant the seeds and people in Haiti so that at the end of this trip, Father, we would look upon this partnership and know that this is vital, that this is about the gospel, and it's about Jesus Christ being shared in people's lives and changing their lives and being in relationship with them. We just thank you for what you're doing, Father. We pray that you would begin to call the people who you'd like to go on the next trip, Father. Begin to make a perfect team, Father, for what purposes you have going on the next six or so months, Father, because we just trust you in that, and thank you for the opportunity to join you in what you're doing. We love you, and we thank you so much for what you do in our lives. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. Well, I want to take us back to Acts 1 as we begin to land the plane today. I want to read Acts 1:8 and the verses after that again. This is what Jesus said. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So today is not meant to be a commercial, but it's meant to highlight that we're trying to be intentional with the gospel in our immediate area, in our region, and around the world. But I want us to look at what happens to the disciples next, because this is why today is important. This is why we wanted to highlight these things. This is what we can fall into if we're not careful. Verse 9 says this: "After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him." This is Jesus being taken up to heaven. "As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go.'" And so Jesus has given them their marching orders. He said, "Be my witnesses. Take the gospel here, farther away, and around the world." And the first thing that these guys do is stand there and stare. And you've got to wonder, how long would they have stood there? I mean, yes, it's not really normal if your friend just elevates into heaven, so we should maybe give him a pass, right? But they're just standing there looking. And these guys show up and say, "Hey, you've got your marching orders. Go. Stop standing here. Stop looking around. Stop waiting on the next thing. You were told what to do. You're witnesses here in Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. Go." That's what I want today to be for us. I think sometimes we just need a wake-up call to know that we are witnesses, that we communicate the gospel, that we represent the gospel. And if we're not doing that in our lives, we need to do that. Maybe some of us are doing that, but we've thought, "God, what's next for me?" I want you to be excited about some of the church planting things that we're doing, about our partnership with Real Life, and maybe get behind that. If you have a passion and energy for that, we want to tell you more about that. And if you have a passion for international missions, if you've thought, "You know, I want to go on one of these Haiti trips. I want to be a witness there. I want to be a witness here, but I want to be a witness there also," then I want you to visit the Next Steps table and learn more about that, because we've been tasked to go. We have our marching orders. We're told to be witnesses. We're told where to be witnesses. And we can't just stand around and wait and watch. It's our job to go. It's our job, after we see something great, after we experience something great, to pass that experience on, to share that experience. God has been great in our lives. And so we want to pass that forward. We want to pass that on. We want to own ownership. We want to own outreach. We want to own the gospel. And that's why we've done this series. Today's the last day of this series, and so I want you to check out a video that we took some time to film that I hope kind of closes up this series and talks about why we did this, why ownership is so important, and then I'll have some closing words. I mentioned that we started 3 years ago as a church plant, and our heart for ownership has just been that as God has built a church, we wanted to see people take hold of that. You ever been to Target? And you don't know who works there, and you see someone in a red shirt, and you say, "Excuse me," and they say, "I don't work here." We don't ever want that to happen at Movement. We don't want to state some rules and say, "Oh, you have to do this." Our heart behind this was to say, if you're an owner of this church, if you're an owner of your faith, you will be running after God. You will be running after God and the things that He's called us to do. When you go to a race, you don't usually say, Is that guy in the race there? That guy wearing jeans and holding a coffee mug? No, you know who's running, and you can see what they're doing. And so we've stated some of these things. We've said we want to see people own their faith. We want to see people own Sundays. We want to see people own relationship and be in groups. We want people to be giving their talents and serving, and we want people to be witnesses with the gospel. That list wasn't named so that people could feel guilty, but we wanted to clearly outline, this is what it looks like to own your faith, and this is what it looks like to own your church, and this is what we need to be going forward if we're going to lead ourselves and we're going to send people around the world and plant other churches. We need to be owners. I love that video. I love how the team put it together, and it depicted so beautifully that people come to life when they take ownership, that things get real when we take ownership. We want people to respond and be owners of their faith and owners of the church. And so maybe one of those things specifically over the last 5 weeks has stood out to you. Maybe we talked about serving, or we talked about getting in a group, and maybe you were busy that day, you tried to not think about it, but maybe God has still been working in your heart. We have the next steps table so that you can take whatever the next step in your faith is. And if the next step is getting involved or committing on another level, we want to see you do that. And so I wanted to let you know that table was there. If you want to know what it's like to have a personal relationship with Jesus, what it's like to grow in that relationship, to own your faith, any question you have, you can visit that table today. Because our heart is not naming rules. Our heart is people owning their faith and being serious about the church that God has put them in. Well, I wanted to highlight one more thing as we finish up today, and that is just simply this. Every week we get a chance to respond to what God is doing. We get a chance to respond and give back to God, and so we want to do that today. We give back to God in many ways, but one of the ways that we give back is with our finances. And so I want to invite our ushers to go ahead and get set. You're going to see baskets passing around, and that's not meant to freak anyone out. That's just a way that we get to give back to God our finances and honor so much of what He's given to us. That enables us to be witnesses with real life on campus and in Haiti and around the world. And so we're excited about giving back to God. But if it's your first time with us, you don't have to feel any pressure. Just go ahead and let the basket pass you by. But if you call Movement your home, if you've been challenged to take ownership, this is a chance for you to respond and be excited about what God is doing. And so we're going to sing. We're going to have a time of giving. And we're going to own what God has called us to and be witnesses around the world. Will you pray with me? God, thanks for today. Thanks for your word. Thanks for the chance to own our faith. Lord, thank you for the chance to be witnesses around the world, witnesses of what you've done and of your greatness. And God, we pray that today will be a celebration of that, today that we can be excited about who you are and what you're doing. It's in your name I pray. Amen.